Good afternoon, everybody. This is Barb Pellow, Group Director at InfoTrends, and I'm delighted that you could join us for Kicking Your Wide Format Business into High Gear, sponsored by Xerox. A number of you are interested and focused on the large format or wide format side of the marketplace. In most instances, it's a critical area for growth, and in some instances, you're constricted by production capacity, or it may be at its max. And limiting your growth. As digital wide format technology advances and customer demands for speed, versioning, and personalization accelerate, the potential for wide format growth and profitability increases. What we're going to be doing today is talking about some recent research from InfoTrends titled Wide Format Printing, a Critical Element in the Communications Mix. We're going to talk about how key market trends align to production and business realities across a number of vertical markets. And then you're going to have the opportunity to hear from somebody who's implemented a relatively new technology. It's single-pass aqueous inkjet. And that happens to be Eli Ravini, and he's out of Israel, so he's joining us from halfway around the world, and he runs a company called Ruben Rid Limited. Before we get started, I would like to take a minute to make sure that you have everything in place to enjoy this webinar. First of all, if you're having any difficulties technically, you can let us know by using the Q&A box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking the help widget below. Now, we'll be taking questions at the end of the session, and all you have to do is submit them via the Q&A box. I'd like you to please take a second to disable pop-up blockers. And if you want to see what the console can do, click on the Tips for Attendee widget for a complete rundown. Now, in terms of content today, what we'll be covering is I'm going to share some information, some recent research from InfoTrends about why large format is so critical to the overall marketing mix as well as the opportunity for service providers. Ellie's going to share with you how he's successfully implemented wide format in his business. We'll wrap up with a few recommendations and conclusions and open it for questions and answers. Now, let's start with why large format is so important. First and foremost, signage and graphics are critical to the marketing mix. And by the way, they're a key area of marketing spend. In fact, InfoTrends does forecasts on a regular basis, and our estimate is that the global value of digitally printed signage and graphics is more than $55 billion. That's a market that's expected to grow at a 6.5% compound annual growth rate between 2012 and 2017. And it's an opportunity, by the way, that has good growth and good margins. When you think about it, posters, banners, and signage surround us, and they're key staples across a number of different market segments. Think about retailers as an example. They use signs and displays to capture the buyer's attention, and they want to use that signage to drive sales at the point of purchase. If you go to Disneyland, it's signage everywhere. Entertainment and amusement providers use banners and posters, and they use them to promote attractions, as well as, by the way, create unique experiences. And then I happen to be doing this webinar from a hotel room today, and I will tell you that the hospitality market uses signage to call attention to services, as well as, by the way, enhance the overall decor. Beyond the retail value of the actual signage, there's also additional opportunity. And you as service providers can add additional value to that wide format sign. You can do everything from installation services to actually doing data capture from things like QR codes and near-field communications tags. When we think about the wide format marketplace, what marketers understand is the value that it has for their overall business. In our recent study, what we discovered was that marketers are planning on continuing to spend a substantial portion of their overall budget on wide format graphics. This chart indicates that regardless of the market that you're in, the firms are dedicating large portions of their budget dollars to signage. Now, when we think about signage, what I tell everybody is it's about capturing attention at the right place and at the right time. You want to engage that customer at the point in time where they're prepared to act. By the way, it might be something as simple as a set of directions to get them to the right location in any type of facility, or it could be educating them about products or services, or actually getting them to transact business. I happen to have a 16-year-old granddaughter, and she provides probably one of the best examples of getting someone to transact business. We happened to be in the mall the other day, and like all 16-year-olds, she does love to go to the mall. We happened to walk by the Gap. There was a sign in the window, and it said, "Text this number. You will automatically become part of our VIP club," and it downloaded to her cell phone a coupon for 20% off of everything and anything that she bought in the Gap that day. She was clearly at a place and at a time. She was present, and she was very engaged. Now, when you think about it, there's a lot of study work that's been done on the signage market. And marketers really invest in signage because it truly does deliver results. I think the statistics speak for themselves. On behalf of FedEx Office, Ketchum Global Research and Analytics actually conducted a survey on the power of signage. And the study found that, first and foremost, 76% of consumers have entered a store they've never visited before because of the signage. 68% purchased a product or a service because a sign actually caught their eye. 3 out of 4 told somebody about a store based on the quality of its signage. 68% of people believe that a store's signage actually reflects the quality of its products or services. And, oh, by the way, poor signage can actually deter customers from entering a store. 52% said that they were less willing to enter a store if they spotted a misspelled or poorly made sign. Now, the benefits for consumers are significant. When you think about it, as you walk into a retail location, to an event, what you find is that signage makes it easy to locate things. By the way, in a lot of instances, it makes it simple to distinguish between products. Signage is being used to help people learn about products so that they can make informed buying decisions. And, oh, by the way, the ability to find a product is based on, you know, personal preference or requirements. Now, when I'm a business, what I've got the ability to do is help that customer make an informed decision. But one of the big benefits is that they can make that informed decision without sometimes the assistance of a sales associate. One of my favorite stories is I will sit down and go to a Costco, and what they've got are signs around the store with mobile barcodes that let me get additional information about that product or that service that I might be interested in buying. Secondly, cleaner, more organized point-of-purchase materials and displays allow for quicker stocking of shelves. I can, in several instances, use that sign to increase revenue, and it's also an opportunity to guide a customer toward higher grossing products versus less high margin type opportunities. So benefits for business and benefits for the consumer. Now, in 2013, what InfoTrends did is we actually partnered with FESPA, and what we wanted to do was really understand what wide format print providers wanted to do relative to acquiring technology. And one of the first things that we asked them was, do you plan on purchasing or leasing new wide format printers in the next 12 months? And in more than half the instances of the 247 people we surveyed, the answer was yes. In addition, what we did is we also asked them what was critical relative to the overall success of wide format. And what they determined was that, first of all, wide format truly is going digital, and 48.8% of them said clearly digital was critical in terms of the overall success criteria. The other thing that we found very interesting, though, was that another 25% said that they needed to be able to blend that wide format with marketing services. Now, we also asked about the decision criteria for investing in wide format. And one of the key components is that turnaround time is everything. And what providers told us was that they were looking for faster print speeds, and that was their number one investment criteria. Now, there were a number of other considerations, including substrates, specialty inks, varnish, and, of course, more capacity. Another key factor when we surveyed providers of wide-format graphics was that clearly there's room for growth, and they were fairly optimistic about the overall potential wide-format offered. In fact, 39% of the respondents said that volumes would be increasing, while 52% said they'd stay the same. The average anticipated increase was, in fact, 14.4%. Now, I tell everybody, think about this and contrast it to the overall printing industry, where if I talk to just a general commercial printer about their business, they're not necessarily optimistic or don't see growth rates in double digits. And that's where really wide format comes in. Now, when you think about what's important from a market demand perspective, what we're seeing are things like fast turnaround, shorter runs, and I'm going to ask you to please advance the slide for me, versioning, and quality that drive digital. Customers really do want great-looking prints, and they want them done quickly. What we discovered in a lot of the research that we did is that more than 60% of wide-format customers need their jobs completed within 2 days. And they don't need necessarily large quantities, but they do want more than one or two prints. And, in fact, what we found out was the average order was roughly 30-plus prints. And certainly there's a lot of work that requires 100 prints or more, but typically those are best suited for offset solutions. We also discovered that these short-run jobs are not a one-time request, and, in fact, frequently they're very repeatable. 65% of customers place orders four or more times a year. And, oh, by the way, if you satisfy them, they will keep coming back. And so what we saw is that when we asked what their clients were demanding, the service providers told us that, first and foremost, they wanted shorter and shorter turnarounds. They said that they wanted more versioning, online ordering, and those were the top-of-the-list criteria for selecting providers. Now, when you think about it, I tell everybody that in today's market, everybody expects everything in real time and what I categorize as at the speed of now. This slide depicts the actual percentage of wide-format jobs that need to be produced in the following time frame. And what you see in this slide is that 61.5% expect turnaround time in 2 days or less. We talked a bit about smaller order sizes. This slide actually shows the breakdown in terms of order sizes. And, in fact, 74% of orders are for 20 or fewer prints. And finally, what we're seeing in this market space is a growth in versioning. And when you think about versioning, it's becoming more and more important, especially in the U.S., but it's also critical around the globe. And what we're seeing are variations based on specific geography. We're seeing language requirements, as well as ethnicity in specific regions. Respondents indicated that an average of 10% of materials were versioned. But think about it, 17% indicated that 20% or more of the signage that they produced was, in fact, actually versioned signage. And providers are looking at techniques to expand into new marketing opportunities by adding things and like innovation to signage. One of the key things that when we asked to what extent they agreed with a specific statement was what they said is, we're looking at expanding the range of applications to appeal to new markets. critical areas that we're seeing some of this expansion in blend signage with mobile technology. I mentioned my granddaughter in front of the Gap interacting with a sign. I had some folks on the plane last night with me that were on their way back from Disneyland, and the gentleman that I was sitting next to had what he called his magic band on. And what happens is Disney has retooled the parks such that what they've got is a band with an RFID reader, and they can interact with signage to get a fast pass to a ride, sign up for restaurants and get a reservation, all done by interacting with an NFC tag on a sign. So we're seeing huge opportunity for service providers to add substantial value to signage and really expand the opportunity to appeal to new markets. One of the biggest challenges that we see with signage and some of the hurdles that people are trying to get over with signage are that they really want to be able to deal with some of the growth constraints. In a lot of instances, large format signage equipment is large, and it limits the ability to add equipment. Sometimes what you're seeing is productivity that limits the ability to meet turnaround time. In a lot of instances, you've got applications, and they're limited by technology and the ability to offer some of the new products that are desired. And finally, what you've got to be able to do is justify that investment in large format equipment. What we're starting to see is emergence of new technologies. Today, when we look at the marketplace, aqueous inkjet devices represent typically the largest installed base of wide format technology. In our research at InfoTrends, 62% of the installed wide format graphic printers happen to be aqueous. While aqueous inkjet printers offer great image quality as well as the ability to print on a wide variety of substrates, there are some limitations. I will tell you that a number of applications can be produced on these devices, including fine art photography, technical documentation, indoor graphics, posters, banners. The challenge is that there's limited speed, and that's typically the downside. Aqueous devices typically use printheads that are piezoelectric, where an electrical charge pushes the ink through the nozzle, or they're thermal, where heat is applied to discharge an inkjet bubble. These printheads offer a lot of good quality output, but the volume of droplets that can be delivered is limited. Printheads are typically also arranged in multiple arrays, and that requires multiple passes to lay ink across a sheet, a line at a time. To increase the quality of graphics, today's shops run wide-format aqueous multi-pass printers in what they categorize as high-resolution, high-quality print modes. This means that they've got to do multiple passes, and that adds time to the process, however, and it slows printing down. If you look at this from a business perspective, the fastest aqueous inkjet printers have rated speeds of about 1,500 square feet per hour for one pass. That speed is reduced if two passes are required. Now, there's new technology out there designed to fill in that gap, and that's single-pass inkjet. And that really represents a new category of wide-format inkjet devices. It's a technology platform designed to help print for pay and implant wide format printers meet a wide variety of customer needs. What it does is it really provides a big benefit, and that's speed plus quality. As opposed to the traditional inkjet printheads that move across the page, the printheads are actually arranged in a fixed array that spans the page. What happens then is the substrate moves under the printhead array and is covered with ink in a single pass versus multiple passes. Because the inks are applied simultaneously in one pass, what happens is that output speed can increase. Further boosting the speed and quality, the printheads shoot millions of tiny droplets per second. And since the droplets are small, what happens is the evaporation is instantaneous, and so the output actually emerges almost dry. Now, that's a big change. And as you know, Xerox is obviously the sponsor of the webinar. It's the technology that they've deployed in their IJP 2000 device. What you've got to take a look at is that each of the print head includes cyan, magenta, yellow, and a double black channel that delivers solid blacks. There are 11 ink delivery chips that are uniquely aligned across the printhead and the control processes for each of their 70,400 ink nozzles. An automated printhead cleaning process also assures that you're getting good-looking prints every time. Now, when you think about it, and you look at the technology, the faster speed of single-pass inkjet enables the user to actually improve profitability. In addition, what happens is it opens up new applications. It really offers a significant jump in both speed and throughput. It also has a smaller footprint than other production wide-format technologies. It offers the benefits for both indoor signage type applications as well as including posters, banners, maps, signage, and point of purchase displays. And what we're discovering is that customers demand multiple versions of large signage. And for instance, if you look at it as an example, a retailer that requires 250 posters produced in five versions, it would typically take a traditional aqueous inkjet multi-pass printers up to a couple of days to do that. Well, I can do that much more quickly in a single pass mode. Now, what I'm going to do is introduce Ellie Ravini. And Ellie, what I wanted you to do is spend a few minutes really talking about your company. You're an early adopter, obviously, of aqueous inkjet technology, single pass. But why don't you start by telling us just a little bit, Ellie, about your company?
Okay, hi everyone. My company is a family-owned. It started something like 6 years ago as a blueprint company, which most of our customers are from the engineering area, architects, and with the years, we moved on and we add more customers from other areas, areas like the advertising, military, embassies, governments, and so on.
Now, Ellie, talk to us a little bit about the technology that you use. You have small format. Could you spend a minute explaining what you're using there today?
Yes. In the small format of A3 and A4, we are using the Xerox machine. In the black and white, we are using the Xerox 4110. We have two machines like this. And in the color, we have the Xerox 5000. These are the machines for the small format.
And what about, Ellie, on the wide format side?
Okay, on the wide format, we were using an HP equipment and OCE equipment. And something like 3 months ago, we bought the Xerox IJP. And because it's a very fast machine, a very fast printer, we put all the three other printers beside, and the new one is printing all the capacity.
Okay. Now, Ellie, take just a minute and talk to us about what types of customers you serve today. Who would be your primary people that buy the output from your company?
The primary customers, as I said before, were architects, engineers, mostly were from the CAD customers. With the years, we moved on to other customers from the advertising, from the fashion industries, and so on, basically the end customers. So we start printing, instead of only the CAD, full color printing, posters for advertising, for stores, malls, and so on.
Okay. Now, you indicated that you started in the engineering marketplace. Are you now? Talk to me a little bit about what you're doing with blueprints and engineering documents today. How are you producing those?
Today we are producing the blueprints, which are should be printed in color in the Xerox machine, in the IPGA Xerox.
And so what is the value to the architectural side in terms of the color portion?
Mostly is the speed of the machine, because our market is the jobs are very urgent. The customers want it to be printed yesterday. And I'm sure everyone from the area know what I'm meaning and what I'm talking about. And with this machine, I can print immediately.
Okay. What type, Ellie, I mentioned that our survey data shows less than 2 days of turnaround time. What is your typical turnaround time that your customers are asking for?
From the time that I get the files, they want it in something like a hour, 2 hours, half a day max.
Okay.
This is the market in Israel. It's a very crazy market.
Okay. And you said that you expanded into, color displays and those types of things. Talk to me a little bit about the new customers that you've been able to open up your business to. What types of things are you doing?
Yeah, the new customers that I can now print are customers that want also quality and the speed. With the quality of this machine, I can print for them to exhibitions, to advertising. I can do rollouts, all types of advertising.
Now, Ellie, you know you're one of the early adopters of single pass aqueous inkjet in the IJP 2000. What were your decision criteria in terms of making the investment?
There were three things mostly. The first was the speed of the machine. Because in my business, the speed is very, very important. I have something like 7 deliveries with motorcycles that in the minute that the blueprint is ready, the customer is with a clock waiting for the product. So the first thing was the speed of the machine. The second was the quality of the machine, the benefit that I can get into other markets. And the third decision was I saved the place, because the real estate in Tel Aviv is very high. So if one machine can produce what yesterday I produced with three machines, so I save money because I save place.
Okay. Now, let me ask another question. We've got a couple questions in terms of audience questions that came in. And, Ellie, from your perspective, what's the key benefit of the single-pass inkjet technology for your business? And I think you've talked about it, but I just want to make sure we're clear on it.
You mean what is the best benefit?
Yeah, what is the biggest benefit of the technology, the single-pass inkjet?
Okay, what I told before, the biggest benefit is speed. This is the biggest benefit for me.
Now,
the speed
Ellie,
of the machine.
Yep. Now, Ellie, somebody else asked, what kinds of substrates or papers are you running through the IJP 2000?
90% of the jobs are regular paper, something like 90 grams.
Okay.
Paper, but I know the machine can print until 104 grams. This is what I know.
Okay. And what types of devices did you displace with the IJP? What did you have in it prior? What other types of large format devices did you displace?
Before, I had the HP 7100. Two of this machine, and I have the OCE, I think it's called CPS. I don't remember the... just a minute, I will try to remember. It's called TCS 500.
Oh, okay. Now, Ellie, you had...
OCE machine.
Pardon?
Yeah, I say it's an OCE. It's a... Dutch product that every customer in the blueprint area are familiar with this brand.
Okay. Okay. Now, Ellie, you had a recent win for a retailer. Could you describe that to the group?
You mean about the Xbox poster
yeah.
that you talked about?
Yes, Ellie.
Yeah, a week after I bought the machine, I got a phone from a customer that he needed 100 posters, but within an hour. Without this machine, the only thing that I can produce something like 100 posters is an offset. You know, if the customers know the area, but the offset, you can't do that within an hour. It takes half a day or 2 days. The other thing that I could do that was with the HP machine, with the inkjet, and it would take me something like 1 day or the whole night to print. And with this machine, I produced the 100 posters in something like half an hour, and the customer was very happy, and I got the new customer from this print and on.
Okay. Now,
I am the new customer.
Now, Ellie, I got another question in for you. How hard was it to train your people on new technology? You know, is all the work that you're doing being done with internal employees, and then how did you train them?
It was very easy. We had from Xerox a guy that made something like a half a day or 1 day training for the staff, and that was it. We bought it with the Caldera system, the RIP, the Caldera RIP. And I'm not printing myself, but I understood from my employees that it's very easy. And even one of my employees explained to me that if I will bring my daughter, and she's 15 years old, within an hour, it will explain to her how to print. I understood with the Caldera, you just take the file, you throw it into the Caldera, and it go printing like the home print, like a home printer. It's very easy.
Okay. Now, Ellie, in terms of you know, the overall speed, how would you compare and contrast that to other technologies that you've used? Go ahead. How much faster is it than other technologies that you've used?
I would say 5 to 7 times more.
Okay.
Very fast.
Okay.
Very fast.
And how do your customers...
I can explain to your customers if they are from the blueprint area. So I have the black and white OCE 9800. I think most of your customers know this machine. It's a very big one. It's an OCE black and white machine. And it prints something like 10 meters per minute, okay? And these two machines are standing one beside each other, and they're printing almost the same speed. When the OCE 9800 is black and white, and the IJP is in color. They're standing one next to each other, and it's almost the same speed.
Okay. And how about the quality? What do your customers think about the overall quality?
So I tell you the truth, it depends. The CAD quality is perfect. In the posters where you have a full cover area, it has sometimes a little problems, but most of the time it goes good. The printings are going very good. In every of a 10th poster, it has some bind on it. But okay. I know they are working on it, the guys from Xerox. CADs are perfect, posters are perfect, but if the poster is a full colored, so it sometimes, not all the time, have a little bind.
Okay. I have a question. Are you printing computer-aided design or CAD files through the Caldera RIP? Or can you answer that?
Yes,
you are. Okay.
Yeah. The 90% of my job is CAD.
Okay. All right. And then
PDF and DWG and PLT files.
Okay. And then one other quick question that came in, Ellie, while we were talking is, when you deal with this is a sales question, Ellie. When you deal with architectural engineering firms, who do you sell to? Who's your main point of contact?
It depends. Sometimes it's the architects themselves, and sometimes it's the it's the contractor who builds the it depends. Sometimes the architect is the customer, and sometimes the constructor is the customer.
Okay. And Ellie, compared to other devices in your shop, what's the footprint like for the IJP? How big is it in terms of physical layout in your shop? How big is the piece of equipment?
Similar to other, it depends. I have small machines and big machines, something in the middle.
Okay.
But compared to the capacity that it prints, it's small. If I compare it to the OCE 9800, something like half in the size.
Okay.
But if you compare it to an HP, it's bigger. So it depends what you compare it to.
Okay, great. Well, Ellie, let me ask you a question, which is, for other large format providers, given your experience to date, do you have any recommendations? For peers in the industry?
I didn't understand the question, sorry.
I said, do you have any, for other large format providers, do you have any recommendations for them in terms of in terms of single pass inkjet or your experience?
I didn't understand what you want.
Well, let me ask you a little different question. One of the other audience questions that came in is did you test the technology initially before you purchased it?
Yes, I did.
Did you? Go ahead.
I compared it with an HP equipment. And also, I have in my business the ColorWave. If your customers or if the audience know this machine, the ColorWave 650. It's also a very good machine, but you cannot compare the speed. There is no other machine in the industry that I know about that can print in such a speed.
Okay, and so speed was at the like several of your peers in the industry. Speed was at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to wrap up, and if anybody has any questions, we tried to get to most of them, but we'll take a look at it at the end of the session. But, you know, I think what you're seeing is that, and from Ellie's comments, that wide format digital print the digital print market is growing, and it's a result of both customer demand as well as, by the way, the types of technological innovations we're seeing. And wide format printing, based on our forecasts at InfoTrends, as well as, by the way, a lot of the things that you tell us you're buying, gives an opportunity to grow in challenging economic times. And we're also seeing that your customers, in a lot of instances marketers, understand the value proposition associated with signage and graphics, and they've said that they're going to continue to maintain their investments in signage. And so you have an opportunity to invest in the right technologies to help you enable new revenue streams, as well as, by the way, as Ellie talked about, high levels of operational efficiency. And we're seeing some of the new technology, the single-pass inkjet, that's going to broaden the array of applications you can offer. This slide, InfoTrends just completed, and I think it's an interesting slide for everybody, a study on metrics. And we actually looked at the wide format marketplace and compared and contrasted the best and worst performers in the market, as well as those that had average performance. And what you'll see on this slide are a series of metrics in terms of how people are performing, best, worst, and average. And it's year-over-year sales, and you see the best grew at 35%, average was 6.5%, all the way through to how people are actually managing their overall cost of goods sold, where the best were at 24% cost of goods sold, average was 50, and then you had some that were poor performers. And I think these statistics are important because it gives you an opportunity to understand how your business measures up and where there's additional opportunity for investment. Now, there's a series of critical growth factors in the marketplace, and what you've got to look at is you really need to convert demand to opportunities. And what that says is there's a number of new technologies that are going to help you address a lot of the market needs. You also need to look at how you can increase the overall value of what you're delivering to your customer base. And that means you need to develop new applications that deliver solutions for unmet needs. When you look at 2014 and what we see from service providers, we're finding that they're looking for application effectiveness, and that means conducting the right application activities. They also want to be able to be the most efficient producers. And that means completing jobs with the least resources in the shortest possible time. And what we're seeing is new technologies, technologies like single-pass inkjet, are going to open the opportunity to be both efficient and effective. And so when you think about the leaders in the marketplace, what I tell everybody is they're looking at enhancing their capabilities with speed, quality, efficiency, sustainability, and service. And they're making the right investments in terms of both technology, business processes, sales, and marketing. And ultimately, that leads to and opens the door for things like Ellie talked about, which are new services, new products, new customers, and better business models. And so with that, what I'd like to do is I'd like to thank everybody for joining us today. And if you do have any questions, please feel free to send them to me at barb@infotrends.com. And we'd love to have you. I'll check the Q&A tab. I think we got to most of your questions throughout this webinar. But if you do have additional questions, please take a second to submit them. I think we did get all of them. And I'd appreciate, again, any of your feedback that you might have relative to the overall webinar. So with that, thank you very much. And have a great rest of the day.